Welcome to another edition of the Playing Through Podcast. I guess this is the quarantined edition is what we'll call this, right, Wacker?
Yeah. I mean, we can't, you can't even go to the studio anymore.
No.
You're in your alternate studio, I guess.
Yeah, I am. I'm sitting in my house in my alternate studio, and you know what? I actually kind of like it. I'm getting used to it.
You might get too used to it.
It's a different way of life. Hold on. I did. I got up this morning. I showered. I did the show. But then after the show, I got on the Peloton bike and rode for 20 minutes.
So here we go. You know, I'm going to get guilted into buying a Peloton bike between you and all the tour players that I see every freaking day on their Pelotons. Look, I can't do anything either. We can't even leave the house here. So it's, yeah.
Well, at least I still have golf in North Florida. So I'm in North Florida.
South Florida.
Right. So you have no golf. Miami-Dade, Broward County. But then today I saw an interview with Tiger, and he said that Medalist was open. Is Medalist it's not in Palm Beach County. It must be north in Jupiter, right?
Right. So I found that out yesterday as well. It's actually in Martin County. So it's just over the line. Martin County, as you mentioned, most of the state of Florida is open when it comes to golf courses. This is like a controversial thing going on right here in South Florida. All the golf courses are closed, not allowed to play, public, private, does not matter. It's been a point of contention because people argue, look, you're outside, you can practice social distancing, you can do all this stuff and be safe. But then at the same point, there are interactions, there's potential, but the rest of the state, to your point, you can go play golf, Tiger can go play golf. People have been doing that at Medalist, it sounds like. So here we
are. I mean, they have implemented some new rules, like, for example, only one person per cart. The flag sticks stay in the hole. I've seen a couple different ways they're doing it. Some people are pulling the cup out of the ground about 2 inches. So if the ball just hits the side of the cup, that's it. Ball's considered hold. At the club that I play, they have put, I'd say it looks like a pool noodle. And the pool noodle is about a half inch below the hole. And so the ball can just barely fall into the hole, and it's sitting on the pool noodle with the flag stick still in. There are no rakes, there are no pencils, there are no scorecards. They don't want you touching anything. So, like I said, only one person per cart. And they're making you play in twosomes. You can't play in foursomes. They want you in twosomes. So, I mean, listen.
You know where else is closed?
Where?
Augusta National is closed.
It is closed. And we're supposed to be playing day one of the Masters today is what we should be doing.
That's right. Augusta National is closed.
But, you know, it's interesting. I was watching the interview with Tiger, which is on golfdigest.com. I know it's your partnership with Golf TV. Tiger said that he absolutely would have played. He's been playing golf. I saw a video of him the other day. He was at a racetrack gas station filling up his car with gas, somebody posted. And he is playing again. And so I don't know about you. I don't even know if we've talked about this. I was beginning to wonder if there was another injury we didn't know about. Because after Genesis, we didn't see him at the WGC. And then came the one day of TPC at the Players that they did play. He did not play the Players and had not committed really to anything. And was still going to try to get ready for the Masters. But at the same time was saying his body wasn't ready. So I was thinking maybe there was some type of injury again that we weren't aware of. But now that doesn't appear to be the case. I saw an interview with him just today on Golf Digest, and he appears to be okay and says he's been playing a lot of golf.
Yeah, and, you know, with Tiger, you never really know. So he clearly was bothered by his back, and there was something going on there because he hadn't been playing. But to your point, in that interview, he says that he would have been able to play the Masters this week. So that was the plan. We don't know if he would have played between when the Players Championship was canceled and Augusta. So we don't know what would have happened there. But and now another note, so it doesn't really matter, I suppose, but he does, to your point, does appear to be healthy. He's able to play at Medalist, so that's good. But when we're able to play golf again, who knows?
What are you hearing? Because, for example, now we've lost everything. Where are we at now? When would be the soonest return?
So sources, as we like to say, sources. Right. We did report on a lot of this stuff. It was all very fluid, and there was a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts, a lot of things changes. Of course, we broke the story of the Open Championship being canceled. reporting on that 5 days before the RNA actually canceled it. And then some other stories as well. And the latest I have heard, and this came as, again, we reported on Monday when the tour announced a joint statement along with the other organizations, PGA, RNA, USGA, etc., Augusta. So the latest is, in terms of regular golf, I think at best we're looking at probably early to mid-June. What I've heard is that the tour is hoping to return at Colonial, which of course is typically played in May,
right,
in late May. But that event will actually take place in June, the week of June 11th through 14th, which is normally the Canadian Open week, right?
Right.
And the Canadian Open is slated to be played in Toronto, where there is an order in place basically banning all major city events and permits through June 30th. So that event doesn't seem like it could go on in that time frame. And then there would be a jumbling of other dates and openings. For example, obviously the U.S. Open now postponed until September. So that event or that slot on the calendar, which would have been the following week, will go to another event, potentially the Rocket Mortgage Classic, which is currently slated for May. Could be even the RBC Heritage, which would have been played at Hilton Head next week. So there's a lot of moving parts. It sounds like the Memorial Tournament Jack Nicklaus event at Muirfield Village. It sounds like that event will be played in the British Open spot, which is now vacated. Of course, that event canceled for this year,
right,
and will return to Royal St. George's next year. So that's kind of where we're at, is early to mid-June at best.
So as far as the updated event schedule for the major events, we'll go over them real quick. So the PGA Championship is going to stay at Harding Park in San Francisco. Yep. They are going
August 3rd through 6th.
Yep. Yeah, currently going to try to play it the 3rd through the 9th. That's currently when they're going to try to play it. Now, whether that happens, I don't know. Then the FedEx Cup, this is what's strange. The FedEx Cup playoffs would begin on August 17th and end September 7th at their, you know, normal venues. Then we would pick up after the season technically ends, after the playoffs, we would then play the U.S. Open September 14th through the 20th in New York at Winged Foot, where they had planned on playing it. Then 2 days later, the Ryder Cup would start, which is, I believe, here in the States.
Yep, in Wisconsin at Whistling Straits.
So 2 days after the U.S. Open, we would play the Ryder Cup for the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th. Then there would be a little lull, and then they want to have the Masters in November from the 9th through the 15th. Now, my question to you is, I just can't see, I mean, Tiger had a hard time getting healthy to ramp up to the Masters. We couldn't get the WGC event and the Players, which, let's be honest, a healthy Tiger Woods plays the WGC event and he plays the Players, a healthy Tiger Woods. So we obviously had some issues there. He has stated that he would come back and play the Masters. Now, if it were playing today, he would have been there. I can't see a scenario where he plays the PGA Championship, the 3rd through the 9th, then a week later takes, I mean, let's say he would need to take the first event off in the FedEx Cup playoffs, maybe the first two events off, but then you're not guaranteed to make the third or the last event. So he would play the 7th to 17th, then a week later, the U.S. Open. Then 2 days later, the Ryder Cup. I mean, where's the cutoff? What does he say? Okay, I can't play this. You know that it's always been about the majors. The Ryder Cup is a big deal. What, does he skip the FedEx Cup playoffs? I mean, that's a lot of golf in a short amount of time.
It is. And you have to remember the weather that time of year. You know, you can get some cooler days. So I would suspect, and look, we're a long way off from any of this happening. My guess would be that if this were to play out, you know, the emphasis for Tiger at that time of the year is going to be the major championships. So I would suspect, you know, the U.S. Open, or rather the PGA Championship, U.S. Open, and Masters, those would take priority for Tiger. And he would have to build his schedule around those. And that might mean, to your point, skipping the playoffs. Or, you know, look, we have to remember, Tiger's barely played this year anyway. So, and we don't even know how the playoffs are going to be structured yet, because, of course, you know, a bunch of events are going to be canceled, so, or already have been. So that's going to impact the top 125. You know, maybe they, there's been talk that they might expand the number of people who make the playoffs initially. So there's still a lot to be worked out. And I have to think, you know, if we get to the point, if you want to argue and say, look, let's say Tiger qualifies for the playoffs, I still have to think that his focus will be the major championships for sure, because, you know, at this point in his career, that's what really matters. So right. I wouldn't be stunned if he skips other events, including the playoffs, in order to make sure his body is ready and able to go at that point.
Now, as far as the Ryder Cup goes, does he has to qualify for that?
Yeah, and that's another question, right? So what's going to happen with the Ryder Cup? There have been reports that that may not even be played this year. So far, the Ryder Cup folks have said, we do plan to play it this year, as you mentioned, the week after the Tour Championship. So you've got a really the week after the U.S. Open. Sorry. So you've got a really incredible 2 weeks of golf right there. But who knows what happens with that? I mean, what's the qualification process going to be? Because that's now been interrupted. So
right.
Are we going to end up with 12 captains picks on each side? Nobody really knows yet at this point, because
which if that's the case, if it is 12 captains picks, he's obviously getting in if he's healthy.
Yeah, if he's healthy. I think that's the caveat. And, you know, with Tiger at this point in his career, 44, going to be 45 at the end of this year, I mean, health questions are always going to be, you know, who knows what things look like for him 4 months down the road. So 5 months down the road. So there's no way to really know. But, you know, to your point, yeah, if he's healthy and there's, say, 12 captains picks, I'd have to think, certainly with Steve Stricker being the captain for the U.S. team, there's no way he's not picking Tiger. Unless Tiger says, look, my body's not there. I'm trying to, you know, prepare for the U.S. Open, prepare for the Masters, et cetera. But who knows? This is all very almost speculative at this point. I think we have some idea of what the tour would like to do. Whether it actually plays out that way is still to be determined. And, you know, there's a lot of sponsors you've got to appease. I mean, there's a lot of people might not realize, but, you know, there's a domino effect when you move these events around or don't play and move an event from one spot to another. All of these tournaments are interconnected and affect each other. So I don't know how this is going to play out, and I certainly don't know Tiger's health 5 months from now. I guess on the upside is that his body wouldn't have taken the wear and tear these last few months. So you would expect that he would be, you know, in good shape at that point and not be worn down by, you know, the full season and so forth.
I mean, I know there's a lot of time off right now when it's time to heal his body and get ready, but he even mentioned today in the interview on golfdigest.com, you can go see it, that he really doesn't know what to practice for. You know, I was talking to Billy Horschel. He was just on the podcast last time, and a good friend of ours, and I was talking to Billy, and Billy said, we don't even really know what to practice for because we don't even know when we're going to play again. So, you know, they're not like us where they just go out and just hit balls and just, you know, screw around. They're actually hitting shots for golf courses. You had said, Wackard, last year that you had heard that Tiger spent 4 months hitting shots that he knew he was going to need to hit at Augusta National, and it paid off for him. He mentioned it today in the interview on Golf Digest that he spends 3 and 4 months preparing for that golf tournament. They're not sure what to prepare for. So where is, you know, we don't know where that first tournament back is. We keep hearing about flattening the curve and trying to get everything back up and going. And I know the government wants to get the economy back up and wants to open the country back up. And you can't do it too soon or you risk having a second wave of this stuff. It really is at a loss. And there's a lot that goes in. There's all these, you got to remember, these golf tournaments, when they do, quote, come to town, it's once a year. That entire committee spends 361 days preparing to play 4 days of golf. They've prepared. The players did. Remember, TPC Sawgrass, the tour, and the players, they did everything. They even got a day of play in. But then the next week was the Valspar. The Valspar just, I mean, they were ready to go, and they just lost everything, the charity effect and into the community. There's so much. They want to get these tournaments. And so I can see why they're trying to push these tournaments that are, like you said, Colonial has been postponed and not canceled. Some tournaments have been canceled. I mean, we're not going to finish playing TPC Sawgrass, not until next year. That's done. It's just, to me, the players don't know when it's coming back, and I don't think the tour really knows, because who wants to make that first call? Let me ask you this. Who wants to be the first person to get, okay, we're ready to go, and be the first person to play? Remember, the NBA was the first to cancel. They canceled that the night before the players. That Wednesday night, they canceled. And that was like the avalanche in sports is when it all started. Who's willing to be the first person to take that chance and go, okay, let's play again? And then, are you going to have fans? That's another thing. Have they talked about playing any of these events without fans?
That has come up, in fact, and they talked about, potentially trying to play these first however many number of tournaments without fans, and then at some point playing with fans. But even that's complicated because, right? So
right.
When they canceled before they canceled the Players Championship, you know, they planned on playing the rest of that tournament in the next three without fans, and then they decided to cancel everything. So how do you go from that to saying, okay, well, now it's okay to play with to play without fans? Because a big part of the reason they decided to play or not play without fans was the fact that a golf tournament is like a traveling circus, right?
I mean, right.
You've got volunteers, media, television people, players, caddies, coaches, staff, people in player dining, all sorts of stuff. So I don't know how you can come back as a sport and play without fans, maybe unless by that point the curve, as you mentioned, is flattening or has flattened. And then, by the way, you come back, 1 week you're playing without fans, and then at some point you're going to start to play with fans. So
right. When do you introduce that?
What is the tournament before that, you know, that last tournament without fans? How are they going to feel that just a few days later?
Now it's okay.
Saying it's okay to play with fans. I mean, their sponsors pay a ton of money to put on these tournaments. So that's a complicated, you know, sponsors obviously want fans there. So it's a complicated situation to just all of a sudden 1 week start playing with fans when you haven't played with fans just the previous week. So I don't know the answer to that. I don't see how you could come back playing without fans. It just doesn't logically make sense to me.
Right. And when you do, let's say they do say, okay, we're going to come back. How many guys are willing to play? Like, how many guys are willing to get back in and do that again?
I think these players would jump at it. I don't think there's a guy out there that would say I'm not playing. I really don't.
Golf, yes. Golf, I agree. Now, and I know we predominantly talk about golf, but what about other sports? College football. Right. So for example, Major League Baseball is talking about taking every team, sequestering them in hotels in Arizona, testing everybody to understand that we've started with zero infection, and then playing the games with no fans all out in Arizona and just kind of playing in a bubble. And Major League Baseball is started late.
Am I the only person who finds that really almost impossible or just kind of crazy?
Yeah, I think it's crazy. I'm not exactly sure how they would do it. The NBA has talked about just canceling the season altogether, like the first 65 games they played were played for nothing. Hockey's talking about canceling their season. You know, as a huge college football fan, I'm wondering, number one, I mean, it seems so foreign. I don't know about you. The other night I was watching television, and I was watching one of the old great games, and the team scored, and everybody in the stadium was high-fiving and hugging each other. And I thought, that looks so foreign right now. Like, I wouldn't do that for a second right
now. Seems like so long ago.
No, right? I mean, I'm not even supposed to go to Publix without wearing a face mask. It's like, and then you want me to go sit in a stadium next to a guy spilling beer and sweating on me for 4 hours, which I used to be perfectly okay with. Who's going to be that first sport that says, okay, we can go back to this, and will the fans flock back? NFL players, I saw some NFL players saying, I'm not willing to go back and play again because, I mean, they're all over, they're tackling and all over each other. We're in such a spot that when do we decide and how do we decide that it is okay to start going back? I mean, even just going to a restaurant and sitting down and having dinner again and the person sitting next to you and being comfortable, it's completely changed our way of life. And I think that it's going to be quite a while. But for some reason, sports always tends to be the one that kind of gives us that boost up the ladder to start climbing again.
It does. You're right. I mean, there was, you know, I've had a few people bring this up to me, and I remember it well. Of course, I lived just outside New York City at the time, but 9/11.
Yes.
And to your point about that boost, I mean, everybody remembers, of course, the New York Mets game and the famous Mike Piazza home run. The Yankees in the World Series that year with George Bush throwing out the first pitch. Lots of incredible moments in sports in the wake of that terrible tragedy. And this is a different kind of tragedy, of course.
But worse. But worse in the number of deaths and the number of people affected, it's worse. And so it's sports is – I get it. And I think Graham McDowell said it, in the grand scheme of things, it means nothing.
Yeah.
But yet it really is so important because it does drive us. And right now, it has felt so strange on a weekend or on a Thursday night or a Friday night to you can't turn the TV on and find anything. And they are catching on. Like right now, I've got television on. They've got Masters Rewind on. They're showing final rounds of 2012, 97, 2013, 2005. They're doing it today, tomorrow, and all weekend. And I understand why they're doing it. I think it's great. But no live sports, no college. And how are colleges being affected? And that now college basketball basically not happening, the NCAA tournament not happening. They're going to give these kids an extra year of eligibility. But then when your incoming freshmen come in, now your roster is over limit. So now they've got to increase the roster limits. There's just this – in my lifetime, I've never seen anything that has affected so much the way this has. And it's strange how it started out. If you remember, Wacker, when we were in Ponte Vedra, you and myself and a representative from TaylorMade had dinner together. And as we're there, we were talking about how we didn't really know what to think. Was it being blown out of proportion? Was it as bad as they said it was? We didn't really know what to think. And everything changed within a matter of 48 hours. That was on a Tuesday night. By the time Thursday night came and they canceled the players, things were total. I've never seen the nation change so much in 48 hours as it did from that Tuesday to that Thursday.
Yeah, that was crazy. That week, I mean, remember that Chainsmokers concert on Tuesday night, right?
Yeah.
And people, thousands of people, close quarters gathering, watching these guys perform. And then 2 days later, the world was flipped on its axis. So, yeah, it's been strange. And it's weird, your point. I mean, you and I are obviously both huge sports fans, and we're used to watching so much of these. I would be at Augusta right now. I would have been there all week. I would have had dinner on there would have been a golf writer's dinner on Wednesday night for awards there, season-long awards. There would have been a dinner with the folks from the Travelers Championship I would have attended on Tuesday night. Of course, you have the first round.
Don't forget the champions dinner that Tiger had on his own with his family.
I know. How great was that, by the way? It's got to be great to be the Masters champion. And you could still have your own champions dinner with steak and chicken fajitas, the same, the sushi and sashimi, the same menu he had planned
right.
for Augusta National. And of course, even had the golf hole in the background and some pink azaleas going on. So that was pretty cool to see. And but you're right. It's strange. Like, I find myself watching these old sports almost as if I'm watching them live, because I'm, your point, we're so used to watching that. Like, the other night I was watching the Heat Spurs game 6 NBA finals, and it was almost like I was watching it live. Like, I know the outcome.
Is that the Ray Allen shot?
Yeah. I've seen it a million times, but I still sat there glued to my TV, just watching it and just watching the plays develop and unfold, like knowing what was going to happen. Yep. And of course,
I remember that.
Some of the Masters, like the 86 Masters and we'll see the 97 Masters and several other ones that you mentioned along the way. And inevitably, I think we're going to watch them. And I think part of that is, like, it gives us this sliver of hope that someday we're going to get back to that. And because I've always found this interesting from the standpoint of, you know, why do we cheer? Why do we watch these things? And really, it's about hope. It's about seeing yourself. It's about rooting and cheering, and it's mostly positive things. And, you know, given the current situation, I mean, obviously that's the kind of stuff I think we could all use and look forward to, and certainly would appreciate when we are back to being able to watch sports and watch it for real.
Yeah, and I think that there will be a time, because I think we are wanting it back. And I know the numbers are fluid every day. I just looked at them just now. The numbers today are lower at this time than they were yesterday. And so it appears that we are starting to get a handle on this thing, which is great, because it needs to happen. I think people are doing what the government officials are telling us to do. Stay home. Wash your hands. I think there's so much that we don't know. But sports is, I mean, just the fact that Major League Baseball is even now publicly talking about getting back and playing again is good. And so hopefully we will get back to some form of normalcy. As we're recording this, it's April 9th. I don't think you're going to see any golf, like you said. You won't see any in April. I don't think you'll see any in May. I think June is probably going to be our next time. And you know, it is what it is. It gives us a chance to reflect. And I don't know that things will ever be, quote, the same. I think we'll just have a new norm. And whatever that new norm is, we will adjust to it. But I am looking forward to, you know, it's funny, right now I was thinking, we don't have a lot to do. Everybody's sitting at home. And if you think back to 6-8 months ago, people were always, oh, so tired, man. I wish I could just stay home. Like, okay, so now we're at home and everybody wants to go somewhere. I can tell you right now, Wacker, your travel schedule at the end of this year in August, September, and November is going to be so slammed, you're going to wish you had time to just stay home.
that's very true. There is a small silver lining getting to spend time at home and be here, and as opposed to traveling, you know, every few weeks or so. But yeah, that's, I mean, from a golf fan perspective, how crazy is it going to be from, really, if all this plays out from August on? I mean, you've got PGA Championship followed almost immediately by the PGA Tour playoffs,
yep,
followed by the US Open, followed by the Ryder Cup.
Then we get a slight break in October, and then the Masters.
Yes,
and here's what's even crazier. They're going to play the Masters in November. And then if we don't have – oh, and then, you know, I haven't even brought this up, and I probably shouldn't even say this, but that's if we don't have another wave in the cold winter months that they're saying is possible as well. So who knows? But anyways, let's say the schedule they've laid forth actually happens. So like you said, August and September are absolutely just week after week after week after week of important golf. Then you're going to play the Masters in November. And then 5 months later, we're going to have the Masters again. We're going to get the Masters two times in a matter of 5 months. That's ridiculous.
Is anyone really complaining about that?
No.
Is anyone going to care?
Well, I tell you, you mean to tell you who's going to care? The guy that wins,
right? Yeah,
well, is only going to have the jacket for 5 months. He's going to care.
That guy will care. Yeah. Whoever wins is going to be on the short end of it, getting that jacket for 5 months and before he's got to return it. And then, you know, chances are he's probably not going to successfully defend.
Right. Yeah. The only guy that would really be fair is if Tiger wins in November, he would then get to have it the two full years because he would have had it the year up to today or Sunday, and then he would have had it until November. He would keep it again until the next one. That would be the only fair. So I say they just call Tiger the 2020 champion. Let's give him this will put him over the top, over the win total, everything, and then we just move on to next year.
And that brings up another point. Like, so what are these major champions? Do they have to, you know, the jacket, you basically have to bring it back to the club. I'm assuming, obviously, that's not the case for Tiger. I'm sure they're not making him send it back to the club.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, the reigning Open champion, Shane Lowry,
he gets to keep the jug another year.
Get to keep the jug another year. How good is that? I mean, he had a pretty epic party following his win last year at Portrush. So now he gets to keep it for another year.
He's just drink more brews out of it for another year, whiskey.
That's not the worst problem to have, I suppose. I guess those are filed under nice problems to have.
No, and I mean, listen, do you agree or disagree? Are you of the belief, I've seen both ways and I'd like to get your opinion. Are you of the belief that they should have just canceled all these majors, had none this year? Because we're not going to have an Open championship, so now there's only three this year, not four. Are you of the belief they should have just canceled everything and we should have just played for 2020, or do you like the rescheduling?
No, I like the rescheduling. It gives us something to look forward to, hopefully. Also, you know, one of the things a lot of people don't consider when it comes to these is the fact that all of these majors are not run by the PGA Tour. They're run independently by their organization. So right. There was, you know, at one point there was talk of, or maybe hope of, having the Open Championship in September. So you would have had PGA in August, the Open Championship in September. And then you could have had the U.S. Open potentially in October, the Masters in December, or you could have had even a November for the Masters, or you could have had the Masters in November and the U.S. Open potentially West Coast in December, which of course they've moved the women's U.S. Open back until, I believe, early December, late November.
Right. So the problem is you can't have the U.S. Open in New York in December.
Correct. So they would have had to change venues, which of course they did not want to do. But I think what happened was a couple of things with respect to the Open Championship is there was really no place for them to go on the calendar. The tour wanted to have its playoffs and other events. Then you had the other three majors taking place. The U.S. Open, so all of a sudden the Open Championship was sort of left without a spot. That pain was eased also by the fact that they have insurance against a global pandemic, much the way Wimbledon, which had been canceled the week prior, has as well. So they're able to recoup a lot of money for the event not being played this year that they otherwise would have made. So, but back to your original question, no, I do like the idea of them scheduling these events. It at least gives us something to look forward to and shoot right for. As you said, you hope that things are flattened by then and there's not some spike that occurs. Right,
some second wave.
So forth. Yeah. So, but I like the idea of, and there's, you know, look, I have to be honest, you know, seeing Wingfoot in the fall and September, you know, could be spectacular. That's that part of the country, that time of the year. I grew up there. That's an amazing time of year to play golf.
Right.
You know, seeing the Masters in November, but where you're going to have cooler temperatures,
does not bode well. As much as we all want to see him win again, these cooler temperatures do not bode well for Tiger at any of the Masters. Yeah,
that could be problematic.
August is fine, and August in San Francisco is fine, but you can still get some cool mornings out in San Francisco regardless. But August should be fine. But September, U.S. Open in New York, you can get some cool mornings, and we know in Augusta, Georgia, in November, I mean, they get some cold mornings. So I'm not sure that the rescheduling, as much as I think it plays in Tiger's favor as far as giving him more time for his back and whatever issues, I don't think the weather bodes well for him. But I tell you, the best thing so far to come out of all this is a lot of the challenges the guys are having online and having fun, whether it's I saw the TaylorMade challenge they were having with guys bouncing the ball around. I've seen Justin Thomas was challenging guys. I attempted to take part in the Peloton challenge Billy was having. I did one ride. I realized that I have no business riding a Peloton with them. So I bowed out after one ride. But you know what? To see these guys having fun on social media has been a positive, and is something that is at least giving us something to stay in contact with them and stay in contact with golf. And we will get back to some form of new normalcy before this is all said and done. But until then, you know what? We just have to ride it out, do what the government officials are telling us. The hardest thing we have to do is stay home. Yeah, it is boring, but you know what? It gives people a chance to listen to our podcast.
It does. And look, we all miss golf, and in some parts of the country, like here in South Florida, you know, obviously can't go play. Although it was funny, actually, a few weeks ago, I'd share a little story with the listeners. You know, the ban had been in place for a couple of weeks at this point. So I drove around town here to kind of get a sense of and talk to some people and what sort of impact this would have on the everyday golfer and the people who work at these places and typically enjoy them. And I came across a guy, I don't want to say where, don't want to oust him because the venue was closed, but came across a guy near Twilight hitting balls on the range. And what struck me in the moment was not so much someone sneaking out there and hitting balls from a shag bag and that sort of thing, was simply the sound of hearing a ball being hit with a club, a metalwood, and an old metalwood, probably a 20-year or so old club, and hearing that sound over and over. It was something I hadn't heard in a couple of weeks. I'm so used to hearing it, be it on playing golf or at PGA Tour events, which is a whole other sound, obviously,
right,
those places. But just hearing that sound was like this little respite that was really sort of this nice little moment as the sun was setting, to be able to hear the sound of a golf ball being hit,
right,
was a nice moment, even though we're all supposed to be inside. So in the meantime, yeah, I've been my 10-footer's on putting.
Yeah, the perfect practice putting mat is perfect.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people using those, though, too.
Oh, boy. It's everyone's 10-footers, man, once we get back on the golf course, should be really good. So in the meantime, yeah, you just have to stay patient, stay home. I'm bummed about it. I'm bummed not to be at the Masters this week. Bummed not to be able to go to the Open. Bummed I won't be at a golf tournament for a while. Bummed I can't go play golf. Bummed I can barely go outside of my freaking house here or apartment here.
Right.
And yeah, so, you know, we're just trying to manage it best we can. And, you know, at some point we'll get back to some level of normalcy.
Yep. But yeah, once again, that practice mat you brought up is the perfect practice putting mat. You can get it at golfsply.com. golfsply.co. golfsply.co. But I enjoy it. A lot of tour pros using it. I saw you were using it too. So it at least will carry you over when you get back on the golf course. Your long game may not be worth a shit, but you'll be able to putt. You'll be able to roll 10 footers in like a dream. So thanks for listening. We will be back with you probably in a couple weeks or so, see what's going on. We'll try and get some guests on, get some tour players on. It's not like they're doing anything.
That's so right.
We should be able to get some guys on.
Free time on their hands.
Yeah, so, tons of it.
Yeah, for those listening, if we will provide the phone number if necessary.
Yes.
But no, we will have some guests here in the offing. But everyone stay safe and stay home as much as you can in the meantime. And yeah, I hope that we're back to some level of normalcy in our everyday lives. Just our everyday lives soon would be nice.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. Don't forget, when you get finished listening to this podcast, go wash your hands. Thanks for listening to Playing Through Podcast.